All right. I want to bring greetings to you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessings be to your work through you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Help us be faithful to you and bring glory to you. Lord, we ask you to fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father. Help us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right. I think we'll open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. Verses here. want to kind of set the thought though this morning as things not appearing as they are. And along that line we live in a time, you know, they have what they call AI now, or artificial intelligence, and they can create videos or pictures of things, or and even mock people's voices to where they're saying that there's a time soon that we won't even be able to believe anything you see, because it can just be falsely created. It's the thing about it is, it's that is nothing new. That's why it takes wisdom, and we see that in Christianity all over. We can portray things and it be completely different than what's actually reality. And that's the whole thing. That's what Satan, he came, and his goal is to portray himself as God, or as even good, and just so we would worship him instead of God. It's the whole world is made of, duplicity, and all these things are all around us. And so I want to just read a few verses here, and we'll go through a few of these things that it's easy to have that appearance. As one of them is Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Deceitful scales are an abomination before the Lord." And here, this is the theme of what I'm talking about, deceitful scales. We know what scales are and what they're supposed to be true. If you buy 1 pound of something, that's everyone knows what 1 pound is. And so they have a scale that measures out 1 pound. You pour out 1 pound of grain on that, or meat or whatever, and when it balances out, it's equal. But a deceitful scale will have something that looks like 1 pound over here, but it only weighs 14 ounces. And so you get 14 ounces of grain or meat or whatever we are, whatever you're buying, and you're being cheated because it's not what it appears to be. And that's what deceit does, and that's how deceit. And it's easy for us as Christians to learn these ways we're supposed to be and just pretend like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that's another deceitful book. But deceitful scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a righteous weight is acceptable to him. That's one thing, being what we are is one of the things that is compared to being a righteous scale. If we're trying to portray something that we are other than what we really are, we're like a deceitful scale. But if we're just what we are, we're equal with what we are. And it's just a Christian is someone who is just what he is. He's not trying to pretend anything. He's not trying to portray anything. He's not trying to get others to think of himself more than he is. He's just being what he is. And that's what I'm, you know, and that in that being, you know, if he's a righteous man, he's a righteous man. You just, it's all the way through that we don't have to put on a big show. It says, whenever arrogance enters, there's also dishonor. And that arrogance is whenever we begin to think of ourselves as something other than we are. And while it may appear that we're really something, in reality, it's just a dishonor because God sees who we are and how we are. But the mouth of the humble meditates on wisdom. But the mouth of the humble meditates on wisdom. And talks about it being in pride. It's used in the King James. This word is pride. It says, wherever there's pride or dishonor. Here it's using this word arrogance, which is the same thing. Where pride is, enters, there's dishonor. But the mouth of the humble meditates on wisdom. You know, Arthur talked about pride, and the boys talked about contentment. And whenever we think of pride, you know, a lot of times we have that thought Arthur brought out, you know, we think we're really doing well and then we fail and we're humbled. And one of the things I'm talking about, so getting to the heart of what I'm talking about this morning is, you know, whenever we fail, we're embarrassed a lot of times. And if we're embarrassed about our failure, that embarrassment is not humility. The embarrassment is actually pride. Because our pride's gotten hurt. Because we think that we're something and we failed and we don't measure up to what we think of ourselves, and so our pride gets hurt. That's why it's so hard for us to fail. And that's why it feels so humiliating, because it's our pride being humiliated. You see, and it appears like, well, I'm being humbled. But all it is I'm being exposed, and it really hurt. You know, we all are humbled from time to time. We all fail from time to time. But the harder it hurts when we fail is usually because what's really being hurt is our pride. And I tell people all the time, you know, don't worry about failing. Your pride got hurt. It'll heal real well. It always does. But the problem is what we need is a real humility. Or a real just being what we really are. So that when we're exposed, well, I already knew that. And it doesn't hurt. Because a humble man is not one that really feels bad because he was exposed. But a humble man is one who just recognizes, I am what I am, and that's all I am. You know, and the thing about it is, a humble man, whenever, you know, he just is what he is, so there's not a great expectation of him in his own eyes. That's why these two go together, the balance and the scale. The false weight. You see, what it is when our pride's hurt is it's because we're being, you know, can you imagine someone selling grain, and then the inspector comes along and he's got a 1 pound weight and he puts it on the scale and it's supposed to balance exactly, and boy, his 1 pound weight weighs a lot higher than this 1 pound weight. It just goes right up because, and see that exposure? whew, he's embarrassed because he got caught. You see the point here. To be a humble man is just to be what you are. You see, verse 13, chapter 13 and verse 10. Deceitful souls are led astray by sins, but the righteous have compassion and are merciful. There again, the proud are led away by sins. What says the King, and look at that, deceitful and pride. It's all the same thing. You know, we see it in these different versions of the Bible. We have deceitful on one version and pride on the other. Why? Because pride is deceitful. And who is it deceiving? We're just deceiving ourselves. Nobody else. You know, we all see through that. We're deceiving ourselves. That's why it's deceitful. The deceitful souls are led astray in sins, but the righteous have compassion and are merciful. You know, one of the things, the pride, you know, our pride, whenever, how does our failure affect others is the main thing we need to be worried about, instead of how I appear or what it looks to me. You know, okay, Proverbs 29:23. Read another one. It says, arrogance humbles a man, but the Lord supports the humble-minded with glory. Arrogance humbles us. And there again, this humbling, a lot of times, it's not an effective humbling, it's just an embarrassment. It has the potential to humble us, to expose us for who we are, but if we have to go into repair mode, right away, all we're doing is repairing our pride or repairing our reputation instead of actually letting it humble us and bring us to the place where we really are. There's, you know, it's amazing how people, you know, a lot of times just speaking in public. You know, people are afraid. They're afraid to speak. They're afraid to be in front of people. And a lot of times, all that is they're afraid of making a fool of themselves. And that, what is that? Is most of the time, it's just pride. Because we don't want to make a mistake in front of everybody else. Because we want to portray an image that we're something, you know, I don't know. Just being what we are. You know, sometimes sometimes to others that are trying to pretend to be something, that just looks pretty arrogant to them. But being what we are is what we are. The Matthew chapter 21. Here Jesus says, but what do you think? A man had two sons and came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing. And he answered, I will go, sir. But he did not go. Here we have this picture of a lot the same thing. Deception, what I think of myself, appearance, whatever. And here he said, to the one son, and the one son said, I don't want to do it. It's not what I like. I don't want to do it. And it kind of sounds disappointing. Then the other one came, okay, sir. Yes, sir, I'll go. I'll take care of it. But then he didn't do it. The one, kind of aggravated him a little. But he went and did it. And the other said, yes, sir. Yeah, oh, yes, sir, I'll respect you. I'm going to go do that. And then he didn't do it. And then Jesus asked the questions, which one did the will of the Father? The one that said he was going to do it and then didn't do it, or the one that kind of bumped him at first, but then he went and did it? Which one of those pleased the Father? Which one of them did the Father's will? And the answer's obvious. That a lot of times we're right there saying that we're going to do this or we're going to do that, then we never get it done. And it appears, you know, yes, sir, just you can see this person just, yes, sir, I'll be right there, you know, just real respectful. But where's the real respect? It's in knowing that something needs to be done and you just humble yourself and go do it. Or putting on a big old show. And then he said, then what they said the first. Jesus said to them, truly, I say unto you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward so as to believe him. You know, it's so easy for anything in this world to fall under deceit. And we get so concerned about appearances and our own appearance, or our own, how we portray ourselves to someone else. And the reality is, like Jesus said, you know, there's people that came that, whenever I came, religious people just completely missed it. But here are these people that you would count as outcasts and nothing. They actually believed me. I'm going to turn to Timothy. Just going to read a few verses here. Verse 14, chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 1. Just read a verse there. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. It's, you know, it's easy for us to say, well, God's right and I'm wrong. But to be strong in that grace, knowing who we really are and still knowing that there's power and there's grace to make up the difference. And then I go to verse 14. It says, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words which are useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Here's a workman or a preacher. And we see this. I mean, this is what it's probably caused more divisions and more problems than anything, is people wrangling about words instead of being real, being a righteous man. You know, we're so quick to look at others because they don't know how to wrangle the words quite as well as we do, maybe. Charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. These verses are used to make sure you study the Bible. They use these verses. And they're telling you, most of the time, they use these verses to tell you so you'll learn how to wrangle your doctrine so you won't confuse anybody. And that's how it's used, but that's not the way it's intended. It actually tells you not to wrangle it first. But know what it says and what it means and apply it to your life. Not just be able to talk about it. He charges them not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. The people, if you're wrangling these words, you're ruining the people that are even hearing you. We have church after church and denomination just building colleges and schools on wrangled words, which leads to the ruin of the hearers. But be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. In other words, actually applying it to your lives. Actually allowing things to actually humble you instead of just embarrass you. It says, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. So much Bible talk is worldliness and empty chatter. This is what he's talking about. It's not about chattering on about things that don't matter. This is talking about the Bible. And their talk will spread like gangrene among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and upset the faith of some. They found some little new doctrine and they ran away with it. You know, I've just, among the plain circles, every few years there's some new and improved or new little thing that comes up, a new fad that comes up. You know, people jump on the bandwagon. And it just spreads like wildfire. You know, a few years ago it was communal living. That was the hot thing. Then sometime later it's talking about the kingdom. That was the new thing. Just over and over again. A while back it was having tongues or something like that. And it's just one new little thing and just catches over and just whew, it's gone. And everybody being tossed about. But it's just worldliness, empty chatter. Be what God wants you to be. Yes, the kingdom, some of those things are right things maybe in their place. But it's nothing to be carried away with. It's something to be the kingdom of God. And the kingdom is now. But it isn't just because it's the new hot topic. It's what we do every day. Men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place. Here, these were scaring people about the resurrection being over. There's always something out there, some new thing to scare you. And the thing about it is we may think that we're on our toes because we're being scared, but the real thing is showing an imbalance or a lack of something. It's just a refusal to have faith. Last week we talked with a man and we had to understand the book of Revelation. We talked about it a little bit. And I told him, I said, listen, you be faithful now and you'll be ready to take the step no matter what happens to us. But if you're scared about the next step, you're not living today, and you're not having faith today, and you won't be able to make the next step when it comes along, the hard one. Nevertheless, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they have upset the faith of some. They've scared some. See, well, how many times we talked about fear. You know, you can see it in the world. The two things, the most powerful way to be controlled is by fear or anger. Look at how the politicians in the world and the people in the world manipulate the whole mobs of people with fear and anger. Oh, that group of people has cheated you. You've been abused. And they get you mad at that other group of people. They're controlling you. If someone can get you scared, they can control you. That's where that balance is going to it looks real good. It looks like it's the right way, but it won't be. It's deceptive. But the content, you know, contentment, we talk about it a lot of times when it's just regard to worldly things. But the greatest contentment is being content with God. That's how you know, we can get rid of all our worldly things, punish ourselves and be sacrificial to ourselves, thinking that we're going to be content with that. And it has that appearance. But the real contentment is, am I content with God? And that's the only real contentment that will produce a contentment that the other stuff doesn't really matter, whether you have it or whether you don't. That true contentment with God just doesn't matter. You know, we can have this false contentment and get rid of everything and just live real poor and humble and seem like we don't care about anything, but there's no peace. There's no comfort from God. There's no real trust in God. It's trying to impress Him with all those things. And it won't measure up on the scale of true scale. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Verse 20. We'll just read on. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also wood, vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the Master, prepared for every good work. Now flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. You know, whenever we think of this youthful lust, yes, there's a bad part of youthful lust. But that's not what he's talking about right here. Yes, it's bad, we know that. But what he's talking about here, have you ever seen a youthful person that's just all zealous, looking for the new thing, looking for the most exciting thing in religion, trying to figure everything out? It's the same old youthful lust for knowledge, to impress people, for power. But it says, now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. You know, it's so simple. we overlook righteousness, just being right, just doing right, treating others the way you would want them to be treated. Faith, love, and peace. You know, people say those words all the time. And they become almost meaningless. But you know what it means to be a Christian? It means to have righteousness, faith, love, and peace. If we learn those words and those things, we don't have to have all the rest of this stuff. If we look at the Bible and we read the Bible, we study it like it talks about here, to be approved. Study it to find righteousness, love, joy, and peace. Not with my neighbor, that they need all those things, but with me. When I learn to have those things, that is approved of God. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. What produces quarrels? Quarrels? How many quarrels have you seen over this verse says this verse says that? It's foolish speculations. We're not looking at, we're not using the word of God rightly, which that's what they say. You learn how to use it rightly and you'll see my doctrine and my ways. Using it rightly is to learn righteousness, love, joy, and peace. And it's just that simple. All of that other stuff is, may say the right words, just like we was talking about pride. But we're embarrassed when we mess up. Instead of having real humility. And it goes all the way through just like that. Instead of being able to say all the right things, have righteousness, love, joy, and peace. We have those things. We have it all. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. You see what God wants? And you see all of that religious claptrap? As we're just captives of the devil doing his will. We may be able to explain it from right to left, left to right, upside down and backwards. But God wants us to have righteousness, love, joy, and peace in the real sense of that's who we are. And we live in that. May God add his blessings, his words. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? God bless y'all. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock.